Now we're going to worship in words. So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be right in the middle of this incredible chapter of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25. It's a small passage, but it is a very, very powerful passage of scripture. And you know, I looked up here and I saw my brother Andy without that guitar, and he's got a little pep in his step, don't he? Right? That guitar sometimes holds him down. It's kind of like if you tried to tie me to this pulpit, I just don't think I could preach. Okay, I would try, but I don't think I could do it if you tried to tie me down. And so I'm glad Brother Andy was able to let it loose a little bit there. And you are too with your songs. I heard those words and they were powerful in your voices. And listen, we were created to worship God. You know that? We were created to worship our Creator. And we were created to glorify God, our Creator. And we can do that when we just let go and just sing to God and let Him have all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, and all of our strength. And so this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 8, I want to ask you a very important question. And I'm actually going to repeat a question that Jesus asked His disciples in this passage today. And it's a question that might sting a little bit, but it's not intended to sting. It's intended to challenge. So here's the question. You ready? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is your faith this morning wrapped up nice and neat and placed on the shelf of your heart? Is that where your faith is this morning? Or is your faith unwrapped? Is your faith unbound? Is your faith being worn out on the sleeves of your life? You know, what I find is that many times we like to talk about our faith, but if we're not careful, we won't live out our faith. Oh, we'll tell people how good God is, but we don't live like God really is good. We'll tell people all the time about how they can be forgiven of their sins, but we will walk in the guilt and the shame of our own sins, and we can't really believe that God would forgive us. I find many times we like to think about our faith and we like to talk about our faith, but it's just difficult to live out our faith. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Like you put the shirt on and the shirt looks good, but you just can't seem to match your walk with your talk. I believe that's what happened with the disciples. You know, these were not perfect men. These were not perfect people. They were people that God chose, that Jesus chose to walk with Him and to serve with Him. But they were not perfect. And I believe they struggled to understand who Jesus was and what Jesus came to do. And I believe they even struggled in finding, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live in this world? Now, last week, we looked at Luke chapter 8, and we looked at, again, a very small passage, verses 16 through 21, where Jesus shared a parable about a lamp and a stand, right? Jesus didn't want His followers to simply possess the light of God. He didn't want them to simply possess faith in Him. He wanted them to actually live the light of God out loud. He wanted them to practice their faith all the time and in all places of life. And when His family came to see Him, you'll remember when His family came to see Him, the people told Him they were there, but they couldn't get to Him. And this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 21. He said, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." He was not dishonoring or disrespecting his mom and his brothers. What he was doing was he was highlighting and he was emphasizing those who actually listened to him with the intention to take his words and do something with them, to live them out loud, to be a light on a stand that shines for God. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wasn't just talking to those disciples, you know, all those years ago. He was talking to you and me. He was talking to us today. And so after Jesus' resurrection, one of His half-brothers made the decision to believe in Jesus, to believe that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah. And it was James, And if you'll remember, I shared this with you last week. James said in chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He says this, do what it says. So James used four words. Jesus said, put it into practice, four words. And James says, do what it says. Both of them were talking about the word of God in our lives. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you read the Bible, right? Think about that for a moment. How many of you read the Bible? But do you read the Bible with the intent of practicing what the Bible says? Doing what it says? That's the question. It's one thing to read the Bible and know it. It's another thing to read the Bible and surrender to it. Live it out loud. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Now, does that mean, Brother Jeff, when we practice our faith, that there won't be any struggles? If that's the case, I want to read your Bible. I want to read whatever book and whatever chapter and verse that is, right? That if we'll just listen to what Jesus says and do it the way he says it, then it'll be easy. No, it will not. And we're going to see that in the scripture today. I believe when we do listen to the word of God and when we do put it into practice, I believe we're actually inviting the struggles. You say, what? If I listen to what Jesus says and I live the way he says, you're actually telling me that I'm inviting struggles in this life? I absolutely believe that. You want to know why? Because we are going against the grain of this world. We're going against the grain of this world. You know, Mr. Mike's been helping Brother Andy, and he's been doing some work in Brother Andy's office, and there's some incredible woodwork that he's put in there. And if you know Mr. Mike, he's good at this, right? But I'm going to tell you, you know what's beautiful about that wood? Is that it's been sanded down, and it's so smooth, and the grains and the texture, it's beautiful. But you know what? It wasn't cut out of the tree that way. It wasn't cut out of the tree that way. He didn't just go out in the backyard, cut a tree, and put it on the wall. No, that wood had to be sanded down, right? It had to be trimmed, it had to be cut perfectly, and it had to be sanded down. And I'm going to tell you, that's a struggle. Anybody here ever sanded wood before, right? Anybody ever sharpened iron before, right? We love to quote that scripture, iron sharpens iron, and it just makes us all tingly and bubbly inside. I'm going to tell you something. My Uncle James taught me how to sharpen knives and how to sharpen, you know, hoes and shovels and things like that. I'm going to just tell you something. That ain't easy. That's hard. And I've cut my hand a many a time sharpening a blade, right? It's a hard thing to do. It takes struggles to get us where we need to be so that we can shine the way we were created to shine. One of my favorite coaches, you know, I got a lot of my running buddies. I look out here and I'm like, wait a minute, I got all kind of running fellows out here, running buddies. And so I see them, but it reminds me because as a group, we'll meet together and pray together and we'll just throw out quotes that we love. And one of my favorite coaches on the Nike Run Club app that I use when I'm training is Coach Chris Bennett. And I want you to hear this because he talks about those struggles. Listen to what he says. Struggling does not have to mean failure. Struggling can be successfully not giving up in the midst of difficult circumstances. And he says that, and he says that right at the tail end of one of the hardest runs I've ever done. Okay, it's a speed run, and I've worn myself out, and you know what? I'm ready to just stop and start walking. Like, that's my mind. My mind is, hey, you're out of breath, your heart rate's real high, and you need to stop. And he reminds us right in the middle of that, hey, struggling doesn't have to mean failure. If you choose failure, then so be it. But it doesn't have to be failure. It can mean don't give up. It can mean this struggle is gonna make you better. I know this is difficult, but keep pushing through. I love, love, love that. So I want to ask you again this morning, and be honest with yourself. Where is your faith right now? Where is your faith? Is it only something you think about? Is it only something that you talk about? Is it only something that you put on Facebook? Or is it something that you actually live out loud and you draw attention to the God who loves you? Listen to this passage. Incredible. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Now that's a statement, right? That's a statement. That's a fact because Jesus said it. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. Listen to me, they didn't even think about it. Jesus said it, we're doing it. They got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. They didn't just think they were in great danger. That's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? It says they were in great danger. This is a struggle, isn't it? But does it mean failure? Watch this. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." That was their perception of the squall of the storm, right? That was their perception. They saw the water in the boat. They felt the wind. They saw the dark skies. They felt the rain. And their perception of the storm was, we're going to die. We're going to die. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And look at verse 25. "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples. "Where is your faith?" In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, I know you've read this passage of Scripture many times. I know this passage of Scripture has been preached thousands upon thousands of times. I've read it. You know, I've actually preached this passage in one of the other Gospels. And here's what I see. Up to this point, let's think about the disciples. Just in Luke's Gospel, okay? Up to this point, the disciples have seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen it with their own eyes. They've experienced miracles with Jesus up to this point. They have listened. They have heard Jesus speak in such a way that everyone around him said, "Who is this guy?" When he speaks with power and he speaks with authority. No one else speaks like him. Hey, listen, the disciples, they've seen it and they've heard it. They've witnessed the power of God in and through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Listen to me. They believe in Jesus Christ. They do. They believe that he is the Messiah. They believe in the Scriptures. That's why they followed him. Let me remind you, they've given up everything to be with Jesus and to walk with Jesus. So this is not some that are standing on the side still waiting to figure it out. No, these are guys who are sold out and they believe in Jesus. So look at what happens in this passage. Number one, Jesus makes a promise to his disciples, doesn't he? Do you see it? He makes a promise to his disciples. Do you know what the promise is? We're going to the other side of the lake. That's a promise. He didn't say, "Hey, let's see if we can make it to the other side of the lake." Is that what he said? Because if so, you got a crazy version that I don't know about. Okay? And believe me, there are some crazy versions out there. So be careful. But this Bible says, Jesus makes a statement. "Hey guys, let's get in the boat because we're going to the other side of the lake." This is a promise that he makes. The promise is that they will make it to the other side of the lake. And in this moment when Jesus says that, did they roll the dice to see what they were going to do? Did they play, you know, rock, paper, scissors? To see if they were going to agree or not? No, the Bible says they got in a boat. Like, hey, listen, they didn't have to form a committee. They didn't have to form a committee to see if what Jesus said was truth. right? They didn't have to take a vote, and 3/4 of the majority, you know, they didn't have to vote on it. It said they got in the boat. They listened to Jesus, and they obeyed Jesus. Do you want to know why? Because they believed in Jesus. They believed in him. And I want you to think about this. Most of these men who were disciples, do you know what their occupation was before? They were fishermen. Do you think they'd ever fished on this lake before? Yeah, because the Bible tells us they did. Now, this lake was unusual because it was below sea level and it was surrounded by mountains. And so when the winds blew and when storms came, the storms would actually like fall onto this lake, and it became much like a sea where the waves just crashed all the time. As a matter of fact, many times it's called the Sea of Galilee, right? Many, many times. And so these were fishermen. They didn't have a problem getting in the boat. They knew that sometimes the conditions, you know, could get pretty bad, and it must not have alarmed them in the moment, because when Jesus got in the boat, what did he do? He went to sleep. I've told you this, and I want to remind you this. Jesus is completely God, but he's also completely man. He's completely divine, and he's completely human. Jesus was emotional. He cried. He laughed. We see it in the scriptures. Jesus was hungry, and he ate food. We see that. You remember he fasted before he went in the wilderness, and you remember what the Bible said? It said he was hungry. And now what we see is that Jesus has been teaching, he's been preaching, people have been coming to him, and you know what? Here's what I believe. I believe Jesus was tired. And he knew that this boat ride was going to take a little while, and he thought, I could catch some Z's right here. I'm going to rest my body. So the Bible says he was asleep. And then what happens? It's like clockwork, right? As soon as Jesus gets comfortable and lays down and goes to sleep, what does it say? Oh, a squall came. Not just any squall. The Bible says this was a dangerous storm. So a dangerous storm hits the boat. This was a serious storm. And yes, Jesus was in the boat with them, but the Bible tells us they were in great danger. Let me tell you something. I do believe that the safest place in all of creation is to be where Jesus is. I believe that with all my heart. But that does not mean that the place you're in won't be scary. That doesn't mean that the place you're in won't make you feel like you're going to die. So please don't preach that false doctrine that wherever you are with Jesus, it's going to be safe and sunshiny and glory, glory, glory. Because sometimes it's going to get dark. And sometimes the waves and the water and the winds are going to crash against you. But if you're with Jesus, I still believe you're in the safest place you could ever be in all of creation. It's not about what you feel. It's about what you know and what you believe and what you practice. So we have the luxury, don't we, of reading the story, and not just reading the story, but knowing how it ends. So we read it and we look at how the disciples respond, and we're going, well, I mean, how could they respond that way? Man, Jesus is in the boat with them. It's kind of unfair, isn't it? It's kind of unfair. And here's what I always tell people. Please don't glorify, and please don't magnify, and please don't superhero these people that we see in the Bible. Like, don't make them out to be something they're not. These were real people, real men, with real hearts and real minds trying to figure life out. That's who they were. The disciples were in this storm, and they were afraid. I've told you this story before. I know my mom knows it, but I think most of you know this. Long, long time ago, I was out on a boat with my brother on Crew Lake. And we had put out some nets, and we were fishing. And my brother ran that boat up on something and got that boat stuck. And we tried everything to get that boat off that stump, whatever it was, and we could not get that boat off that stump. My brother gets the bright idea, hey, I'm going to jump in the water, and I'm gonna swim under the boat and push it, and you take that paddle. And I was like, no, you ain't getting out of this boat. I ain't going to be in this boat by myself, and you ain't getting in the water. I said, John, I mean, I was like 11 years old, 12. I said, John, there's alligators in that water. And I didn't know that, but I sure thought it, okay? And now I do know it because I saw one yesterday, a big one, in that same place. But anyway, my brother's like, yeah, I'll do it. And he's like, I said, no, you're not. So he actually put his feet in the water, and I grabbed a hold of him and said, you are not getting in the water. And I started screaming, we're dying. We need help. Somebody save us. I mean, I screamed to the top of my lungs. And, you know, eventually, obviously I'm still here, so eventually somebody came and got us. But in that moment, do you know what I felt like? I felt like I was going to die in Crew Lake with my brother. I mean, I did. That was a real thing for me. Listen to me. This was a real moment for these disciples. Yes, they were with Jesus. Yes, they were in the safest place that they could have been in all creation. But the storm was real. And the storm was dangerous. Okay? It was dangerous. But let's look at what happens. Because here's what really happens. The disciples did what we all do. You know what happens? The disciples lost focus on Jesus' promise because of the storm. The disciples lost focus on the promise that Jesus had just made them hours before because of the storm. The storm gets so strong, so fierce, and we pay so much attention to the storm that we don't pay attention to the promises that have been made to us. That's what happens. And that's what happened to the disciples. Isn't it amazing how quickly we lose focus? Like these little things we call cell phones. What has it done to the roadways? Huh? It's turned it into mass chaos. You want to know why your insurance is so high? Because people driving, looking at their phones and not looking at the road and causing accidents. And I ain't casting no stones because I've been there, done that. Okay? I see it a whole lot more, don't we, Justin? We see it a whole lot more when we're out there running. And we think, oh, yeah, that car's going to get over. And that car don't get over because that car ain't looking. And so we're the ones going down in the ditch, right? Because they're doing this. They don't even know I'm on the road because they've lost focus. Isn't it amazing how easy we lose focus? How we just lose focus? Isn't it amazing how quickly we forget? How many of you have quoted scripture before to someone who was either in the midst of a storm or coming out of a storm, and then you get in the storm and you forget what you quoted to that person? And that person comes back to you and says, hey, don't you remember what you told me? And you're like, I didn't tell you that. And that person's like, yes, you did. Isn't it amazing how quickly we lose focus, how quickly we forget the promises of God? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to minimize the storm because this storm was so fierce and it was so real. But the problem is they began to react to the storm based on their fears instead of reacting to the storm based on the promise that Jesus made them. They reacted out of their fears of what could happen in the storm rather than reacting based on the promise that Jesus made them. So they run to Jesus, right? Jesus, master. Hey, we're going to drown. Don't you see this water? We are going to drown. They have made their minds up. We're not going to make it to the other side. But what did Jesus tell them? Hey, guys, we're going to the other side. So Jesus, I love this because Jesus didn't get up and go, who are you? What are you thinking? What are you saying to me? He didn't do that. You know what he did? The Bible says he got up and told the winds and the waves what to do. Jesus calms the storm. And then I love this. He challenges his disciples. He calms the storm, but he challenges his disciple. Now, let's back up, right? Let's back up and remember what we've learned so far in the first 8 chapters of Luke, the first 7.5 chapters of Luke. Jesus has healed the sick. He's given sight to the blind. He's even raised the dead to life again. There is no doubt he has proved with his words and his actions that he is God in flesh and that he has all power and all authority. And here in this moment, Jesus gets up and he speaks to the winds and the waves and they have to obey him. Do you want to know why? Because all things are held together by the Lord. All things, all creation came about by the Lord. So it has to submit to him. It has to. The wind, the waves, they have to submit to Jesus. And so after he calms the storms, after he tells the winds to die down, after he tells the waves to settle down, and it does, Jesus looks at his disciples and he challenges them with that question, where is your faith? I don't believe, now listen to me, I'm not going to try to force my opinion or force my belief on you, but I don't believe in this passage, I don't believe by what we read and by his tone, I don't believe Jesus was scolding his disciples. I don't believe this was a how could you moment. I believe what this was a challenge. See, I believe Jesus knew the storm was coming. Do you think he didn't know what the winds were going to do and the waves were going to do? I'm going to tell you, it takes you more belief to believe that than it does for me to believe that he knew. He knew exactly what was going to happen when they got in that boat. He knew exact timing of when that squall was going to fall. And I believe Jesus knew. I believe he knew how his disciples were going to respond. I just believe that. Because guess what? Not only did he create the winds and the waves and the waters and the land, he created you and me. In his own image, he created us. Male and female, he created us. He knows how our minds work. He knows how our hearts tick. He knows. And so he knew that this storm would reveal truth to his disciples. That's what he knew. And so I believe that's what the question was. Where is your faith? So this morning, I want to ask you, has anybody here ever experienced a storm before? And I'm not talking about one like me out on that lake, you know. I'm talking about real storms. Anybody here ever got a doctor's diagnosis? And they told you were going to die, right? Or they told you that this is going to be difficult, that you're going to have surgery, that you're going to have rehab. Anybody here ever been through a storm? Maybe you lost a job, and it was the only job you knew, and you didn't know what else you were going to do or how else you were going to pay the bills. Anybody ever here gone through a relationship crisis, right? Have you ever been in a storm? Anybody in a storm right now? I'm going to ask you this question. Is that real? Is it scary? See, I'm not here to diminish or downplay or scold you because of how you see the storm. I know the storm is real in your life. Listen, I've gone through them. Right? We continue to go through storms. Marty and I tell people all the time, and you know, if you're young adults with young children right here, you may not want to listen to this, but it don't get easier. When your kids turn 27 and 25 and 21 and 17 recently, I'm telling you, it don't get easier. My opinion is it gets a whole lot more difficult. And it's scary. Like this life, like there's nothing in this life that, I'm sorry if somebody told you it's supposed to be joy and bubbly and happy all the time, because they lied. They lied. You want to know why? Because we are sinners. And we sinned against God, and this world is broken because of our sin. And so we're going to face storms in this life, all kinds of storms, relationship storms, job storms, right? Spiritual storms. We're going to face those storms. But have you ever been so focused on the storms that you lost focus on the Word of God? That you lost focus on the promise of God? That you forgot the presence of God in your life? And there are times, listen to me, I wish I could stand up here and this pretty coat. Let me just do this. I'm going to take this coat off, right? Because this coat don't mean nothing. I can pretty up with a coat. I can try to be all sophisticated and all that stuff. That ain't nothing. I don't know what you think about me. I don't know if you think, well, Brother Jeff preached that sermon. Man, he's just living that life. Well, let me get Marty to come up here and preach another sermon for you. Because I don't always respond the way I want to respond either. I'm like Paul. I know what I ought to do, and I don't do it. I know what I ought not to do, and I find myself doing it. So many times, man, I can preach that good word to you. I can teach that good word to you. And next week, I can get out there, and something don't go my way, and it begins to scare me, and it begins to affect me. And what I do is I forget what I told you on Sunday morning. I mean, I just literally forget it. Or I just turn away from it. And in my mind, I'm thinking that was good for you, but it ain't good for me. And that's what happens in my life. I don't know about you, but that's what happens in my life. And so I'm so thankful. Here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the times that Jesus Christ challenges me. I'm thankful for the times when the Word of God reads me better than I read it. That's what I'm thankful for. And so I'm thankful for those times that Jesus challenges me. And listen to me, it might be hard to say it, especially when I'm right in the midst of one of those storms, but I'm thankful for the storms of this life. I am. Because by God's grace, the storms of this life that I've gone through have made me the man that I am today. I think about the opportunities God gives me to speak truth into people's lives when they're going through a storm much like I've gone through. I haven't gone through them all. I haven't. There are some storms, like me and my running fellows, we share a lot of truths with each other, a lot of details about our lives, and we encourage each other. But you know, some of my running fellows can look at another one and say, yeah, I've gone through that. I've been through the addiction. I've been through this or that, and I know what that feels like. But let me tell you, see, I can't do that because I haven't gone through that storm. But then another one will say, well, let me tell you what's happened in my life. And then I can come in and say, well, I have been there. And I know how scary that is. And I know how real that is. But let me tell you what God said to me. And let me tell you what God did to me. So don't get caught up in comparing storms and thinking that this one's more important than that one or this one's bigger or greater than that one. Listen, all of the storms God can and will use to make you who you are, so that you can do what he created you to do. And that is give him praise and give him glory. Isaiah 43:7, you were created for the glory of God. See, don't take my word for it, take his word for it. Isaiah 43:7, you were created to glorify God all the time, everywhere. That's the truth of his word. I love this. You know, when I think about storms, I think about tests. And I think about tests. Now, we got teachers in here who are so thankful that school is over. Amen? All right, teachers, we can get the kids back over there. Teachers, are you kind of thankful that school's out? Get a little breather? But here's the thing. Teachers, you know what they do? They teach material, and then guess what they do with that material? They test their students on that material. That's what they do, right? They test their students on that material because they want to make sure that they've absorbed the material, the information. Why? So that they can actually put it into practice. They can use it. And they can do, right? They can do good with it. And I love what Pastor Adrian Rogers says. You know, he's passed on, but man, what a powerful preacher he was. I love this. And I know you've heard this before, but I want you to see it and I want you to hear it again. Pastor Adrian Rogers says, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. A faith that hasn't been tested by the storms of this life can't be trusted. So I'm just telling you something, right? If you say you have faith and the Word of God or the presence of God hasn't challenged you with that, you better back up and ask yourself, what kind of faith do I have? Not just where is my faith, but what kind of faith do I have? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you've got faith in God, he's going to test that faith. Read the Bible. Start in Genesis. How many of those people in Genesis got their faith tested? Every one of them that was a child of God. Keep on reading. Read 1 and 2 Kings. How many of them got tested in their faith? Every one of them that was a child of God. Keep reading the New Testament. Guess what happened to these disciples? They had faith in God, and guess what happened to them? They got tested in their faith. If you're not being tested in your faith, listen, if the storms of this life, right? If the storms of this life have no impact, no effect on you in your walk with God, you better back up and say, am I walking with God? Because God will use the storms in this life to test you, to challenge you. He wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know whose you are. You belong to him, and he wants you to know that you can still praise him and give him glory even in the midst of scary situations. And I believe Jesus shows us that. Here's another truth that I want you to see this morning. Storms in this life can't and won't change the promises of the Lord. Let me say that again. Storms in this life can't and won't change the promises of the Lord. You know how many people today, they're scared of this world we live in? They're scared of the terrorists. They're scared of this country and that kind. They're just scared that the world's going to end. As Christians, why would we be scared about that? Have you read the Bible? Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's going to get scary in the end times. But guess who's in control? My God. And guess who's coming back? And he's going to set all of it right. Jesus Christ. Now, is it real? Yeah, it's real. There's some things going on that I don't like. There's some things going on that, man, I don't want my children to have to go through. But here's the thing. I want my children to know Jesus. And I want them to know that he's in the boat with them. And I want them to know that all he's got to do is speak, and it's got to be done. And I want them to know that when he makes a promise to them, that promise will be kept no matter how fierce the storm may get. I was scared to death. I was scared to death when Marty's got her diagnosis of breast cancer. Like, I started saying, like, what's going to happen? How bad is it? What could be the result? And I started thinking about things that I didn't really need to be thinking about. It was scary. But you know what we did? We started praying, and we started looking at the scriptures, and we knew that God was in control no matter what. And so we took that fear that was absolutely real, and we placed it in the hands of God, who is absolutely in control. That's what we did. We need to remember that we're not perfect, and that we're going to struggle in this life. And you know what else? We're going to struggle with our faith. At times, we're going to feel like we're on a mountain, and at times, we're going to feel like, where'd that faith go? Where is it? Like, it's run away from me. I've let it go. I need to grab a hold of it again. It's kind of like these disciples, right? These disciples were not perfect. Neither was their faith. They were sinners who needed a Savior, and the Savior happened to be in the boat with them. And they still lost focus of the Savior and put focus on the storms. Anybody guilty of that? I've already claimed my guilt, okay? I've already preached it out loud. I have been guilty. Even recently, I've been guilty. You know what? There were times when these disciples walked faithlessly. You hear me? There were times when these disciples who we glorify, who we lift up on pedestals, there were times when these disciples walked faithlessly. But let me tell you another truth. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I'm going to tell you something. That ought to bring you joy today. See, when I ask you, where is your faith? I'm not casting stones at you. I'm not trying to compare you to me or compare you to a Sunday school teacher or compare you to a deacon or to compare you to a this prayer warrior or that prayer warrior. I'm not doing any of that to compare. All I'm doing is saying, hey, where is your faith? Do you truly believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in his promises to you? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know the promises he's made to you? Another pastor that I love to read, and I share this with you all the time, but Paul David Tripp, he's got a devotional called New Morning Mercies. Many of you probably have that now because either I've given it to you or the church has given it to you or you went and bought it because I talked about it all the time. But in that devotional, Paul David Tripp said this in one of his January devotionals. He said, God will remain faithful even when you are not. Listen to this. Because his faithfulness rests on who he is and not what you are doing. When God makes a promise, it ain't up to you. He makes the promise and he will keep it no matter what you feel like or what you do. When God makes a promise, he keeps the promise. It's not based on what you do. It's based on who he is. That's a great truth. And I'm going to tell you what, that sets me free, right? To know that what God's word says to me is truth. It's truth, and if he makes a promise to me, it's not based on how good I am or how well I did or how much I tithe or how many times I went to Sunday school. Because I'm going to tell you, if that's the case, I blew it. If that's the case, ain't none of them promises coming to me. If it's based on what I do, I'm done, y'all. Like, you may as well take my resignation and find you another preacher if it's based on what I do. But what did the Bible say? The Bible said, even when we are faithless, he remains what? Faithful. You can depend on God. You can trust God no matter what. No matter what. I'm going to tell you something. I will let you down. Some of you are probably saying, you've already let me down. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. Your Sunday school teacher is going to let you down. Your praise team is going to let you down. You know what? Community, get ready for this. And I hate to say it, but there's going to be times when your church lets you down. It's just the truth. God will never let you down. He can't, because he's perfect. Every word, every action. God is faithful even when we are faithless. So let's go back to the question, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I mean, is it prettied up and boxed up? Do you polish it and set it up on the shelf of your heart and look at it and think about it and talk about it? Or are you actually wearing your faith on your sleeves of your life? Are you wearing it out, right? Are you struggling? Is it like sandpaper against the wood? Is it like the file against the blade? I mean, can people see the faith that you talk about? I hope they can. But I also want to say this. If that's not where you are, it's okay. You want to know why? Because if you're a child of God, Jesus is going to keep on challenging you. And he's going to keep on testing you so that you can get to where you need to be. So that you can do what you were created to do. So that you can be who you were created to be. And really what it all comes down to is, are you trusting God? Are you trusting God with all of your heart, with all of your life? I'm not sure any of us can say yes and mean it 100%. I'm not sure we can. And that's okay. You want to know why? Because even when you're faithless, he is faithful. He'll help you. He'll get you where you need to be. He is for you, not against you. He is for you, not against you. So wherever you are right now, whatever storm is going on in your life, my prayer is that you will put your focus back on Jesus, put your focus back on the promises he's made to you, and that you won't be so focused on the storm that you forget that Jesus is in the boat with you, and that Jesus can get up at any moment and tell the winds and the waves of your life what to do, and they have to do it. I'm going to end, and we're going to pray, but I want to tell you there's a song a long time ago. I know Brother Andy knows this, but there was a song a long time ago that I used to sing, and it was called Sometimes He Calms the Storm by a contemporary Christian artist named Scott Crepane. He wrote that song, and in the lyrics of that song, he says this: sometimes God calms the storm, but other times God calms his child. How many of you have prayed for God to calm the storm and the storm just kept raging? And you wondered, what is God doing? Why is it God calming the storm? Maybe, just maybe, he's allowing the storm to continue to rage in your life because he wants you to listen to him say, hey, my child, you need to calm down. Who are you listening to? What are you focused on? Where is your faith?